There are quite a few people who are sick and who are traveling. And so I appreciate your prayers for them. And so it's good to see Logan. Thank you. Continue to be with us. So if I am able to communicate with you, I think I should let her get to the slides. All right. We are right there at the second one. If I am able to communicate with you through a microphone, it is because of a device called transmitter. A transmitter is a device that produces waves, radio waves. And thereby, it transfers communications from one end to another. There cannot be radio, there cannot be television, there cannot be broadcasting stations, there cannot be cell phones, there cannot be walkie-talkies, there cannot be wireless networks, there cannot be Bluetooth devices, there cannot be garage door openers, there cannot be spacecraft communications, there cannot be aircraft communications. There cannot be navigational systems and the like without a transmitter. Even your microwave oven and your radiology machines can be classified as transmitters. They transfer some kind of wave. And the transmitter is never thought about or even seen, especially you don't. If I tell you, where is the transmitter on your cell phone? What? It's a cell phone. Yet without a transmitter, no wave through the air communication would occur. And if we didn't have a transmitter between Christ and John, we would not have the revelation of Jesus Christ shown to us. Think of the angel who transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to John as such a spiritual transmitter. We read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, that's the content, and he sent and signified by his transmitter, by his angel to his servant John. From this verse, we delineated five steps in the sequence of the revelation of Jesus Christ, going from God the Father to us, the servants, supposed to show us that. The first step is that God gave this revelation to Jesus Christ. It says revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. And we've studied that in length for about 3 or 4 weeks. The second step, Christ sent his angel to transmit that revelation. There had to be someone who could take that revelation and be the one to be able to receive this and send the wavelengths in ways that we can capture them. And he said he sent and signified by his angel. That's what we'll study this evening. The third step, he says, angel signified this revelation to John, by his angel to his servant John. And next Wednesday, I think that's what we will study. And it says the first that John has written it and given it to the messenger. You see, John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. That means, bore witness means he wrote it down. He testified it. And then the messenger reads it to those who hear. He said, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So there was one guy going around to, at least we may know, those seven churches with that whole book, and everybody will be there and read the whole thing. You see, we read one chapter or just a little bit over 20 verses we read every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening. But the whole thing. And they already sat down and listened to it. And so there was a blessing for this person reading it. And I hope there is a great blessing for this person teaching it. And for those who listen, like you. Now, we have already studied the first step in the sequence of this revelation. It goes from God the Father to the Son. God the Father gave him. And it is, we have found that that first step is Christ being revealed to us in a way we had never seen him before. It is Christ in his glory. He is presently in this glorious state, but we have not seen it ourselves. And we are going to have a picture of that. And what we see, as wonderful as it is, we ain't seen anything yet. So the second step of to the revelation of this revelation, okay, is what we will study this evening. It is transmission of the revelation of Jesus Christ through his angel. Now you say, are you sure we have enough for a Bible study in this? Through his angel? Watch. Now the text says that he sent and signified, that means the revelation that the Father gave the Son, to signify it by his angel to his servant. Now, the angel is the transmitter of Christ's revelation from Christ to John. At our next lesson, we'll study the third step of the sequence when the revelation goes from the angel to John. But today, we must study the transmission role. So that means next week, we'll study what that means, signify it, even though we are going to touch up on it at the end of the lesson today. So when we look at this, like a transmitter, the angel is nameless and invisible. We do not know who he is. We do not see the process by which he transmitted that revelation. We only see that John received that revelation, which means that if John has it, it had been transmitted. But we have no clue when and how. How the angel passed it along to John for John to pass it along to us. The statement by his angel to his servant appears to be pretty simple. And that an angel be a means by which God transmits his mind is common in Scripture. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 53, Stephen told the unbelieving leaders of Israel who were about to stone him that they have received the law by the direction of angels. And they have not kept it. So the law was given with angels serving as transmitters. So we think that Stephen did not invent this assertion because it is in the Old Testament. Where? He probably got it from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. We read in that passage, the Lord came, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of holy ones, of saints, from his right hand, came a fiery law for them. How many? And these thousands of saints, or rather should be translated thousands of holy ones, are believed to be angels who transmitted the law. So from Stephen's perspective, when angels rather than prophets transmit things from God, it is very serious. And that's what Stephen has said. Angels God used, not even you and me, angels God used to transmit the law to you, and you still did not keep it. So this evening we have 3 points to study about this step of transmitting through angels, Christ's angel. The first thing that we are going to study is the singularity of the angel. And we'll understand a little bit better. The second thing that we are going to study is the fact of the angel's transmission. There I'm going to lay 3 problems. After I talk about the singularity, that's what we believe the text is saying. And I'm going to lay 3 problems with that. And then the manner of the angel transmission will be the solution to the three problems that are relayed. So I'll put the thesis, I'll put the antithesis, and I'll put the synthesis at the end, okay? So bear with me when I'm giving you the antithesis so that you will not think of it as a Perry Mason thing, you know? Know that Perry Mason is going to win in the end, okay? Don't think I'm speaking against Scripture. But I have to lay with you the problems we have so that we might appreciate the solution I believe we have for it. The singularity of the angel of the Lord. So first, we must determine who sent this angel. God the Father or Jesus Christ? The subject could be either one. And that in itself is actually a statement of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that last Sunday in Genesis 22, didn't we? God called Abraham in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 22. Then the angel of the Lord acted, making no difference between him and God in Genesis 22, 11 and 12. And the God who called Abraham to offer Isaac in verse 11. So through the possessive he, though the possessive his, may refer to either God or Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, the construction of the sentence in Greek leads itself more naturally that his is referring to Jesus Christ. And the majority of scholars agree. They all argue that that should be so. So his angel would be the angel of Jesus Christ. Now, the expression translated by his angel in our text is literally, if you were to read it about in the Greek, the angel of his, as if Christ had only one angel. So the fact that the article occurs before the word angel in Greek shows that it was one specific angel that the Lord sent. John did not name the angel. So if you are talking, if you were to hear someone say, the pastor, even though at Robinson Baptist Church, even though my name is not mentioned, you will say, oh, everybody knows who is the pastor here. They may not accept him as the pastor, but they know who he is. Okay. So what you have here is that John is using that kind of expression, and he is as if presuming that the audience to whom he's writing would know. If I say the angel of his, they are going to know. So the action of not naming the angel is actually a way of identifying the angel by saying the angel of his. So it must be an angel who has been in this position in the past that people will know, well, that's the one. Now, the activity of angels transmitting God's intention to mankind in apocalyptic setting, like the book of Revelation and some of writings in the Old Testament that resemble the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. So the activity of angels has had great precedence in Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48. You know what that passage talks about, the eternal temple, okay? In Zechariah chapter 1, verse going to 6, Zechariah had many dreams. And you have a lot of angels there. And in fact, you have the angel of the Lord. And I've explained last Sunday, when you see that expression is really, for example, you say the city of Grand Rapids. It's not a city that belongs to someone who is called Grand Rapids. Really, it's in what you call an appositive. It's a city which is Grand Rapids. So we believe that's what you say, the noun complement, the angel of the Lord. Okay, so it's the angel who is the Lord. And as we see in Genesis chapter 22, that's the way he's treated. And we believe that it's called a Christophany. That's an apparition of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He is the angel of the Lord. And I have no doubt about that. So You find angels acting in Zechariah chapter 1 to chapter 6. You find them in that capacity of revealing things also in Daniel chapter 7 to Daniel chapter 12. So angels acting in setting like the setting of the book of Revelation has been common, especially in the Old Testament. So in every one of these passages, you find a specific angel. And I say a specific angel. You find a lot of angels that are doing activities, as in the book of Revelation. Okay, they do this. But you find a specific angel of the Lord being present there. And sometimes the language blends that specific angel with the angel of the Lord that you may not even know who is speaking. Why? Well, you imagine if an angel is transmitting what the angel of the Lord is saying, you may not even see that angel and you think that it's still the angel of the Lord speaking. And we'll see a passage like that. So it's nearly the same thing that is going to occur in the book of Revelation. The Christ sent his angel to transmit the revelation which God gave the Christ, yet we do not hear the angel speak. We do not see the angel acting. In fact, it is Christ who speaks, beginning with chapter 1, verse 11, when John says, I heard a voice behind me. And who is that? Someone will say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's not the angel speaking. It's Christ himself who is speaking. And how did John get to hear that thing? Well, someone transmitted that to John. And yet you don't see that transmitter. So because John writes as if he presumed his audience would know who that angel is, many have speculated that this angel is Gabriel. And here are the activities of Gabriel in extraordinary circumstances associated with the revealing of Christ. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and I heard a man's voice. You see, there is one person, a man's voice speaking. And that man's voice seemingly has enough authority to tell Gabriel what to do. And I heard a voice like a voice of a man. Not that necessarily it was a man himself. It was a voice like a voice of a man between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man, speaking of Daniel, understand the vision, transmit something to him. Someone was of authority to make Gabriel signify things to Daniel. And most believe that the man's voice is the voice of the angel of the Lord. And Gabriel is Gabriel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, and verses 21 and 22, we read in verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he, God, would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel was having his personal devotion in Jeremiah chapter 30, you know, and he discovered, he said, oh, I did not catch that before. That captivity has to last 70 years. And we had a captivity in 605, we had one in 597, we had another one in 596. And Daniel said, well, if God can't start counting the 70 years by 605, in 2 or 3 years, we will get to 70. So Daniel started praying that the Lord will forgive his people, start counting by 605 instead of 586, that would be 20, almost 25 years to wait. And indeed, God counted it by 605. So in verse 21, as Daniel started praying, Daniel says, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. Why did he come? Because someone caused him to say, hurry up, Daniel is praying. Isn't that wonderful? Daniel is praying, hurry up. And it was Gabriel. Now, the aspects of the 70 heptads, we called it, the seven types, in Daniel are explained by Gabriel to Daniel. So in our position, eschatological position at Robinson Baptist Church, we believe that the book of Revelation is futuristic, and we explain that, and that it includes the 70th heptad of Daniel, that the 69 have already occurred. And we have called that the tribulation. So it would be conceivable that Gabriel, who had explained this to Daniel, would be the one to transmit the clear vision of it to John. Now, it is not said it's Gabriel, but we have a lot of things that's really leading us there. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, it was Gabriel who was sent to announce the pregnancy of Mary, how the birth of Christ will occur, and so on. So Gabriel announced the miraculous intricacies associated with the first coming of Christ, so it could be conceivable that it would be again Gabriel who would transmit the sophistication associated with the second coming of Christ. Now, all of you are saying, oh, it is Gabriel. Well, all that said, John has not identified the angel of Jesus Christ, who he is, who transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to him. So regardless, this angel was a very special, singular envoy from heaven for such a significant task. It is one angel. It is most likely an angel whom the audience would know. And we saw last Sunday morning that Abraham took with Isaac, and he went with Isaac and his two servants. You remember I explained that? To go to Mount Moriah. We know that Abraham had more than two servants. So why is the expression his two servants used then? And we know that the expression meant the two servants who were personal attendants to Abraham. The other servants were doing other things in Abraham's vast domain. But these two were personal attaches to him. So his two, for example, when the president has his security detail, well, there's a big army to defend the president. But he has this specific, how many there are, I don't know, more than two, security details. So the expression is used for the two servants of Balaam in Numbers 22, verse 22, I mentioned last Sunday, and for the two servants of Sarah and Hagar in Genesis 16:3. So these two young men were the regular attendants to the 120-year-old Abraham. Hence, the expression, his was, which is true. Christ sent a specific angel, and it is one, not many, to do that transmission. Now, let's look at the second thing, the fact of the angel's transmission. Oh, man, am I not finished my lesson tonight? Now, this singular angel, be he Gabriel or not, was the one that Christ sent to signify his revelation to Christ's servants, servant John. Did the angel do the job, though? Or how did he do the job? You might say that since we have the book of Revelation in our hands, the angel must have done his job. I agree. But the problem is that we have three problems with the fact that this one specific singular angel was to signify the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. The book does not develop that way. In the course of the book, we do not see this singular angel doing that job of transmitting or signifying anything to John. He's not mentioned at all. There are three problems associated with the activity of the transmitting the revelation of Jesus Christ to John by this singular specific angel. And that text did say it's that singular specific angel. And we must solve these three problems. The first problem is that there is no evidence in the book of Revelation that this singular, specific angel has ever spoken to John at all. You won't find it anywhere. They say that this angel said this to John. As the book unfolds, John writes the revelation that he saw. John is interacting with speakers in the vision that he had. Most of them are not angels. And the one who, or perhaps two, it may be one, it may be two, are identified as being involved in the story, not as giving him the whole thing. They are involved in the story that John was narrating. They did not transmit the whole book, the whole revelation to John. That's a problem. The second problem is that the angel, or it may be one or it may be two, the angel who showed things to John is in chapters 17 and 21. And that angel, or these two angels, that angel is connected with the pouring of the bowls. In Revelation 17, verse 1, and Revelation 21, verse 9. You can look at them. Do I have those verses there? Oh, you are trying to reboot? In Revelation 17, verse 1, and you can turn then, Revelation 21, 9. John interacts with one angel. It appears to see the same angel in both instances. Perhaps it's the same, perhaps they are different. And this angel is introduced as being one of the bowl pouring angels, not a special angel. So remember, it was a singular special angel who had to do the transmission. So it could not be just a regular angel among seven. We're not even sure whether it is the same angel in both Revelation 17 and Revelation 22. And second, how come he is speaking only in chapters 17 and 22? And in chapter 17 and chapters 21 and 22. In chapter 17, verse 1 and to 18, we have the first instance of the angel or an angel speaking to John. We read in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." So if this is the angel of Revelation 1:1, where has he been in chapters 1 to 16? In Revelation 21, verse 9, all the way to 22, verse 5, John interacted with another angel. And we have the second stated appearance of the, or an angel speaking to John. We read in verse 9, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Where was he in chapter 20? If the angel in Revelation 17 and 21 is the angel who was to signify the revelation of Jesus Christ to John according to Revelations 1:1, then are these chapters the only portions that the angel spoke? Chapter 17 and chapters 21 and 22? You see the problem? It is already a problem that on both occasions, the angel appears to be identified as one of the bowl angels, not the whole, you know, not the single special envoy. And then now we have the problem that if it is he only showed two things to John. Chapter 17 and almost the same thing, chapter 21. There is a lot of angelic activity in the book. We have angels acting in the whole book. We have, for example, one angel asking who is worthy to take the scroll and break the seals in chapter 5. We have angels sounding the trumpets in chapters 8 and 9. We have one mighty angel with a little book in chapter 10. We have angels pouring the bowls in chapter 16. These are many angels, not one specific angel. So, where did John find chapters 1 to 16 and chapter 19? And we cannot even say that the angel in 17, in chapter 7 and chapter 9 is the angel. So where is this angel? Did he do his job? So that's the second problem. We have no evidence. And the second problem, the only angel who spoke to John is a regular angel, not a singular angel. And here's the third problem. The third problem is that other interpreters have spoken to John, especially in those chapters where no angel spoke to John. You have other people telling John things. While there is no evidence that a specific angel has transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, we do have specific instances where actors have talked to reveal things to John, to talk to John rather than the angel itself. Here are three instances. The exalted Christ spoke to John from chapter 1, verse 9, all the way to chapter 3, verse 22. It's Christ who is speaking, not that angel. Christ has spoken to John. In chapter 5, we also have one of the 24 elders spoke to John. It may be two of them or the same one. In chapter 5, verse 5, we have one of the 24 elders who told John, "Don't cry, the Lamb has vanquished and he has power to take the scroll and vanquish." It was not the angel who told John that. And then in chapter 7, verses 13 to 17, we have one angel who explained to John, we have one of the elders who explained to John what the people who had the white robes, who they were. It was not the angel. It was one of the elders. And then we have the bold pouring angel or angels in chapter 17, 21. So every time you have someone telling John something, it's not that angel. It's Christ, one of the elders, or one regular angel. So there is no record at all of a singular, specific angel to have transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. And that is very problematic, isn't it? So how do we solve those problems? And I think the solution resides in the third point, in how the transmission may have occurred. And therefore, let's see the manner of the angel's transmission. John said that Christ sent his angel to signify his revelation to his servant John. We have that. He sent and signified it by his angel. We will study the word signify when we study the third step, the step of the revelation when it goes from the angel to John. And we'll try to do that next week. However, we must address it somewhat right now because that is what is going to help us solve the three problems we just presented about the singular specific angel transmitting Christ's revelation to John. Now, in the word signify, what word do you see? You see the word sign. John likes the word sign. Sign is the word that John uses in his gospel for the eight events that the other gospel writers call miracles. He never used the word miracle. He used the word sign. He says, this is when you have that, he changed the water into the fruit of the vine. And what did John say? This is the beginning of signs that Jesus. At the end, he said, Jesus made many other signs which are not written in this book. So he likes the word sign. And it appeals from the word that the angel was to make things known to John in the form of wonderful events, similar to miracles, signs, you know, wonders. Does John use that word wonders, sign and wonders? Okay. So the only way to make John know these events in a sign manner seems to be by giving him visions instead of telling him things, like films projected as a dream. So the angel was to visualize these things to John, to project a film of them to him. That is pretty good until you hear very conservative scholars who said, that's not what the word means. I would say, cite a very conservative, J.B. Smith argues that the word signify does not mean to show by signs. He argues that the verb as used in John and in the book of Gospel of John, in the book of Acts, means simply to signify by word and not by symbols. And he gives those passages, John chapter 12, verse 33, where the word is used. Chapter 18, verse 32. Chapter 21, verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 28. Acts 25, verse 27. And he is right. Those passages indeed use the word to mean, to signify by word. So where is our solution? Well, when you look at it, I'll say he's almost right. There are two reasons that we should conclude that the transmission of God's revelation by the angel occurred not with words that the angel uttered, but with visions to which the angel transported John into. Here's the first one. The first reason is the word show used with the word signify. It seems that in this instance, the word signify will have the original meaning of showing by signs. Listen to what he said. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. And how God is going to show that to his servants is by signifying it, having an angel signify it. So when you see the word show with the word signify, it definitely is giving you the hint, use the word signify to mean to show something rather than to utter something. That's one reason. The second reason is how John himself said that he saw all the things that we have in the book of Revelation. Look at chapter 1, verse 11. I contend that the angel in chapter 1, verse 11 is not at all mentioned. Yes. But all three interpreting or revealing agents, Christ, one of the elders, and the bold angels are in the events of the revelation. They are in it. They are the one not revealing it. This is what John is seeing. That's the movie John is seeing. But someone has transmitted that movie to him. So they are in the film. They interact with John. They inform John. They explain things to John. But how did John get to be in communication with them? And I would say the answer is in chapter 1, verse 10. The angel transported John on this stage where the movie is being cast, where the film is being built, and John can interact with the actors on stage. Look at that. We read, I was in the spirit in the Lord's day, and guess what happened as I heard. And then after that, you will see John in many instances telling the story. He say, then I saw. Throughout the whole thing, John is watching this thing unfolding before him, and he's hearing, and he's seeing. He's hearing, he's seeing, he's interacting, because that transmitted angel just transported him and sat him before the theater of all things, and he's watching that thing as if it were unfolding at this very moment before him. And certainly you don't see the transmitter. You only see that TV screen. You only see the telephone ringing. But who is doing that whole? Whom are you talking to on the phone? I'm talking to my mother. But who is transmitting that whole thing? You don't see it. But unless there be that transmitter, you will not be, you can even do FaceTime. Okay, my wife is in Thailand, and I'm FaceTiming her. Not even a split second of wait. I speak, she spoke, just like that, as if she were in front of me. She's showing me the new apartment of my daughter and the food they eat. And I am right there interacting, but I'm not in Thailand. A transmitter transported me pretty much, so to speak, in Thailand. So why do I go through all of this? Because there are so many liberals out there who take this thing to discredit the whole revelation of Jesus Christ. So what do we have in all of this? Yes, it is true that you have all those other people interacting with John. But what is John doing there? Who put John there? It was that transfer in the Spirit in the Lord's Day. And when we get there, it is my position that the Lord's Day here is not Sunday. It's the whole revelation of Jesus Christ. That's his day. Okay? As in many times in the Bible, you say his day means someone's birthday, for example. That's his day. That's the day the Lord has given him. That day of glorification that we see. And what lesson can we gather from the way the angel is? I guess it is more to me. As a preacher of the Word of God, I have to be erased in giving the Word of God to you. The preaching of the Word of God is not about my opinion, my sentiments, you know, my vendetta or whatever. I am here to give the Word of God to people so that they might grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And it should never be about me. Just like this angel transmitted, and you don't see even one imprint of that angel. You don't know his name, you don't see him acting, but he did his job beautifully. And what Christ said, I want you to show my servants my revelation, and that is exactly what he did. He showed to the Lord's servants Christ's revelation, not himself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the study of your word, and we pray that your name will be magnified in all things, that in whatever we do, we might indeed show Christ. As Paul said, that we preach Christ and him crucified. May we, in our lives and in our study, in our preaching and testimony, always transmit Christ. May we be nameless and faceless, but may Christ be the one they know in all things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.